The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Parashas this evening are Achrei Meis Kedoshim. In Parashas Kedoshim, we have in the beginning of the parsha, "Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'mata alehem." Hashem said to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the congregations of Israel and say to them, Kedoshim to you, ki kodosh ani Hashem elekechem. You shall be kodosh, you shall be sanctified." The word kodosh means to be elevated. Elevated from what? From its surroundings. Because I am Kodesh, your God. At the end of the Sedra, we have again, incidentally in the Parsha, Lefi Pshutai, according to the simple sense, the word Kedoshim goes on many, many mitzvahs. Because this Parsha has all types of mitzvahs in it. Both mitzvahs Bein Adam Lamokim, between man and the Almighty, or Bein Adam Lechaverei, Bein man and his fellow man. There's the mitzvah of Kibbur Abayim, to honor a father and mother. The prohibitions of idolatry. Many laws in regards to the Beis Hamikdash. Matnas Aniyum, that you should leave what you should leave for the poor. You should not steal. Rechilus, this is tail bearing, and so forth. At the end of the Sedra, the next to the last posuk, again it states, V'yisem li kedoshim, ki kodosh ani Hashem, you shall be for me sanctified, because I, your God, is sanctified. V'avdil eschem mino amim liyos li. And I have separated you from the nations to be for me. So we have two mitzvahs mentioned in this posuk. One is the mitzvah of Kedusha, that you should be sanctified. And the second mitzvah of Havdalah, that you should separate. Or I have separated you. You should separate yourselves from the nations. Now, the Pasuk adds to both of these principles that you shall be Kodosh because I am Kodosh and I have separated you to be for me. Now, what is the Pasuk adding? Actually, the Torah is telling us some very great principles, very deep principles, in regards to Avodas Hashem, how one should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how one should perform mitzvahs, the mitzvahs of Hashem. Let's first speak about the Kedoshim. The Torah did not command us simply, we shall be Kodosh, we shall be sanctified, we should elevate ourselves. Not at all. But the Torah rather said that we shall be Kodesh, sanctified, because I am Kodosh, Ani Hashem. So we see that we're speaking here not in the concept of Kedusha, of sanctification, which people might think, but rather in this what in the sanctification which HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks is what is sanctified. You shall be Kodesh ki Kodesh Ani. How do we know what is Kedusha in regards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That we know through His Torah. His Torah tells us what is considered sacred and what is considered not sacred. Now this goes to the principle which we've mentioned many times. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. We brought it recently. This was a very, very great principle from the late Talzer Rosh Hashiva, my Rebbe, Ramotchai Gifter, Zichrein Lebrocha. Mitzvahs are only mitzvahs when they are looked in the from the perspective of the light of Torah. A mitzvah is like a candle, and the Torah is like an unending light. And just like you have a candle, where does it get its light from? It gets its light from the light of the world, from the sun. So must mitzvahs get their lights from the light of the Torah. And this is how mitzvahs must be understood, and this is how mitzvahs must be approached. That in accordance to the overall light that one possesses in the Torah, this is the light which he can invest in a mitzvah. If he has no light from the Torah, then he has no light to invest in a mitzvah. Just like if you would detach the light of a candle from the light of the sun. This is what the Chazal tell us, Le Amoritz Kosid. The world feels, why can't an ignorant person be righteous? What does righteousness have to do with intelligence? But our sages say, Le Amoritz Kosid, that the person who is ignorant of Torah, it is impossible for him to be righteous. Because what is Chassidus? Chassidus is the fulfillment in totality of the mitzvahs. Mesilas Yesharim goes to great length to explain what is the level of Chassidus. And he says the level of Chassidus is when you fulfill a mitzvah in its totality, in its total shleimus. Mitzvah min amuchar. How can someone who is barren of Torah fulfill a mitzvah in its totality when a mitzvah is a mitzvah in proportion to the light of Torah that one can invest in it, and he is so distanced from Torah? Therefore, le'amoritz chosid. It's impossible for an amoritz to come to chassidus. So firstly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm not speaking to you to be kodosh, sacred, as you or the nations of the world would think you should be sacred. But I'm referring to my kedusha, ki kodosh ani. And my kedusha, I have taught you what that is through my Torah. So this is what the kedusha we are speaking about. And he said the mitzvahs of Parshas Kedoshim and so forth. You should not steal, you should not speak Lashon Hara, Rechilas, tale-bearing, and so forth. And then further we learn from here. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us to be sacred? Not just for the simple reason that he wanted us to be sacred, but ki kodosh ani, because he wanted us to be like him. He wanted us to be like him. I am kodosh, and therefore you must be kodosh. And this is what our Chazal say, v'alachta b'drachov. We have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu kodosh, afato kodosh. This was the objective to why he commanded us to elevate ourselves, to make ourselves sanctified. Firstly, in the perspective that he is that he sees what sanctity is. And secondly, in order that we can identify with him And through this, Kodosh Li, we can be Dovak to him. We can cleave to him. We can bond ourselves to him. This is why the Torah takes such a strong stand against all different types of Aveda Zora, idolatry, or Darkei Emori. The very next pasuk speaks about Ki Ish V'Isha Ki Yevahem Ova Yudoni. Now, Ova Yudoni, these were Darkei Emori, superstitious practices, alien cults, because this was the type of Kedusha that the world went after. This is what they thought was sanctity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu distanced us from this. B'tachlis HaRichuk, in the ultimate. Because I didn't command you simply that you should be sacred, that you should be a Kodosh. I commanded you that you should be Kodosh Ki Kodosh Ani. I'm referring to my Kedusha, and you should be like me. This was the objective of this mitzvah. All right, that's the ratio of the Kra. That's the beginning of the Pasuk. But we said the Pasuk speaks about two subjects. The second subject is, Va'abdil eschem min ha'amim liyos li. I have separated you from the nations in order that you shall be for me. What was this addition in order for you that you shall be for me? Why won't it be sufficient to say that I have separated you from the nations? I've separated you from the nations. You are different from the nations. I gave you mitzvahs in order that you should be different from the nations. And that's all I want you to be. What did the Torah add? Lios li, to be for me. Now here also we see a very great principle. It's a very deep principle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't interested in separating us from the nations. His objective was not merely we should be different than the nations. In that vein, he didn't care if we were different or not different. He was interested that we shall be to him. We shall bond ourselves to him, be a nation for him. This is the purpose for which he separated us from. This is the purpose why he gave us mitzvahs which separate us from the nation, from other nations, in order that we should be to him. This means that if someone will do mitzvahs and he'll fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah, but it is not for the purpose to be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's merely for the purpose that he should be different than the other nations, he has not fulfilled the will of the Almighty. For further elaboration on this, this is found explicitly in the Torah's Kahanim, right on this Pasuk. Rashi brings it, and it states as follows. Reb Lezer ben Azaya Eimer, Minayin Shelayemar Odom, how do we know that a person should not say, Nafshi kotzo bipsar chazir, that I cannot stand chazir. E efshi lilbash klein, or I do not want to wear klein. How do we know that a person should not say this? So what should he say then? What's wrong with saying that I cannot stand to eat chazir? Or I don't want to wear klein? What's Reb Lezer ben Azaria say? Rather, Rebbe ben Azayas says, Avayemar, he should say, Efshi, I want to eat chazir. I want to go into a fast food place or a McDonald's and eat what they have to give. It's good. I want to work line. Why shouldn't I want to work line? Some of the best clothing are made out of wool and linen. So why shouldn't I want it? I want to. Uma eser, but I cannot, because obviously shamayim gozer alai, because my Father in heaven decreed that I must not. So Reb Lezer ben Azariah says, how do we know that a person should not say, hey, chazer, I can't stand it. Climb, never. He says, no. But efshi, I want to eat that. I wish I could eat that. And I wish I could buy clothing made of wool and linen. But I cannot, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my Father in heaven, has decreed that I should not. He says, that's what you have to say. But how do we know this? He says, from this pasuk. Because it states, "Va'avdil eschem mina amim lios li." I gave you mitzvahs not just to make you different from the nations. What am I interested in just making you different from the nations? I gave you mitzvahs in order that you shall be to me. Shetei havdolaschem mehem lishmi. You're not to do mitzvahs because you want to do them. You're to do mitzvahs because I want you to do them. Poresh mina aveira u'makabel alav ol malchus shamayim. If you say that you don't want to eat chazer because you can't stand it, what's that got to do with me? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you're fulfilling your will, you're not fulfilling my will. But if you say that you want to eat chazer, what's wrong with it? It's good. But you cannot, because I said you cannot. Now you're fulfilling the mitzvah because of me, not because of you. And that's why I gave you mitzvahs. I separated you. I gave you a different life from the nations in order that you shall be for me. Do the mitzvahs lishmi, in my name, not in your name. Perish min aveiro mekabel alav ol malchus shamayim. Separate yourself from the mitzvahs because of the yoke which I have put on you, not because of your desires or lack of desires. Now this is something which is very, very deep, but this is a principle, a great principle in fulfilling mitzvahs. Now, actually, this is Rashi's girsa in the Torah's Kahanim. Our gifts in the Torah's Kahanim is slight, even more. Our gifts states that Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah says, "Minayin shelayema odem yev shelechol bosar chazir yev shelovay ala ervo." How do we know that a person should not say, "I don't want to eat something that's treif"? How do we know that a person should not say, I don't want to take this woman that the Torah forbade me? No. Aval efshi. He must say that he wants. What's wrong? Aval ma'aseh, but what can I do? I have a yoke. I have a command. Well, I'm not allowed to. Now you've been perish min ha-mitzvahs lishmi. You are separating yourself from what I forbade you because of me. Not just to be different from all the other nations. What the Torah's Kahanim is teaching us, that if you have two people, one person goes by a fast food place, okay, for a restaurant, and says, never, can't. Chazer, never. Or anything else that the Torah forbade. And he says, no, never. It's not for me. Or there's a beautiful woman and the Torah forbade her to you. And he says, never. You have a second person that says it would be wonderful, wonderful to eat in that restaurant. Look what the goyim have. Goyim can go into any restaurant. There are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of restaurants in one city, not one or two or three kosher restaurants. And beautiful restaurants and beautiful hotels and good prices. And look at the menus. And look at all the beautiful women. And look at all the beautiful clothing. I wish that we could partake in that. But I can't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. Who's greater? The world would say the first one's greater. They would say the second one's a shegetz. Reb Lezer ben Azari says just the first one's a shegetz. Because he's fulfilling mitzvahs shalei lishmi. He's not fulfilling mitzvahs in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's fulfilling mitzvahs in his own name. The other one is fulfilling mitzvahs in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is how he dashens this posuk. He says, V'yisem kedoshim ki kodosh ani Hashem v'avdil eschem min ha'amim. I have given you mitzvahs to separate you from the nations, not just to make you different from the nations, liyusli, in order that you shall be for me. So all of the mitzvahs you do, don't do them for yourself. Do them for me. Do them lishmi. The Maral, in many places, adds further elaboration to this, further clarity to this. Because, what is the whole connection of a servant to a king? The connection is the mitzvah, the command. The king commands and the servant fulfills. This is the link, this is the connection between the servant and the king. What happens if the servant does things because he wants to do them? Then he's not serving the king. It might happen to be that he's doing the same thing that the king wanted. But he's not serving the king, he's serving himself. When a person fulfills a mitzvah because of his own desires or his own lack of desires, he's fulfilling his rotzen, his will. When a person fulfills a mitzvah against his desires because of the will of the Almighty, then he's bonding himself up with the king. And that's why the Maral explains, which we brought before, Godel ha-metzuveh va'eseh mimisha eina metzuveh va'eseh. That someone who is commanded in a mitzvah and does it is greater than someone who does a mitzvah that's not commanded. Then, the Maral adds in the Tiferes Yisrael, at the end of Perches, he says that here we're speaking of chukim. Chukim are the laws which do not have an apparent rational reason. Like klein. What's the reason of wool, a mixture of wool and linen? Or macholos asuris, forbidden foods. Torah says this is a chok, this is a statute. There's nothing wrong with the food. Or, for example, women that were forbidden to us. This is the chok, this is the chukim that the Torah placed, which women we can marry and which women we cannot. When we're dealing with chukim, then we have to have this attitude. If we're dealing with mitzvahs which have an apparent rational reason, and we can see either the goodness in them, which the Torah said we should pursue, or we can see the evil in them, which the Torah said that we should distance ourselves from them. For example, murder, or theft, or tzedakah, or chesed, or kibbutz av v'em. Then, those are the mitzvahs which not only do we have to do them to fulfill the will of the Almighty, but we also have to try to develop in ourselves an identity with the mitzvah itself, with the goodness of the mitzvah, or to distance ourselves from the evil. And this goes into what we just mentioned before, because we're obligated to emulate the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he loves and what he hates. Mahu chanun afato chanun, mahu rachum afato rachum, v'alachto bidrochov, achrei Elohim, achrei Hashem Elokecha teilechu, that you should walk in his ways. So there we see that he loves something. We have to develop that love in ourselves for chesed, for tzedakah, for righteousness. And if we see he hates gezel, he hates theft, he hates false weights and measure, he hates ruthlessness and cruelty, so we have to develop that in ourselves also. But Lezer ben Azariah mainly is speaking about the chukim, where there's no rational reason. There is a reason. There are many reasons. But these are the sodas, the secrets of the Torah that the Manal says was revealed to the great Gedalia Oretz, to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the great prophets. But these we know only a little of what their reasons are. So we have to say, Ma'aseh, what can I do? This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. And not give superficial reasons or try to bring the mitzvah down to our level. That now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't eat it. So there must be something wrong with it and therefore I don't like it. But we have to say there's nothing, it's good. Except Ma'aseh, what can I do? This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed. Chometz bePesach, we just had Pesach. We can't say that chometz on Pesach is poison, and therefore I can't eat it. Why not? We eat chometz the whole year round, so why shouldn't we eat it on Pesach? There's only one reason why we shouldn't eat it on Pesach. Because Avinu Shebashamayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Father in Heaven, said we shouldn't eat it. But had he not said, so we would have said with our own seichel that we shouldn't eat it. Actually, Rashi always brings that by a mishpat is something with which that the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instilled in a person, the good nature, would decree the mishpat even had the Torah not given it. The Torah told us not to kill. A seichel would have told us not to kill, not to steal. But if the Torah would have not told us, not commanded us not to eat chometz on Pesach, we would have thought of ourselves that on Pesach we shouldn't eat chometz. So what does this show? This shows that there is no apparent reason in chometz for Pesach. So the reasons go far beyond the scope of this world. So for us to say chometz and Pesach, that's eating poison, we're taking the Torah down to our level. And we're saying, this is why the Torah forbade us to eat it. Now, the reason why we don't eat chometz on Pesach is because Avinu Shebashamayim was Gozar, decreed. Now, as a footnote though here, even on the Mishpatim, even that which we ourselves can well understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu either loves this or hates that, There also, though, the Reishis Dover, the beginning of the pursuit of those mitzvahs, must not be because of our own desires to do good or to run from evil. There also it must be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. After that, then we can develop these goods in and this goodness in ourselves. How do we know to say this? This is a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perekhes. Halacha Yud Aleph, right at the very end of the Perek. He is speaking about a non-Jew. A non-Jew was given seven mitzvahs. All of his seven mitzvahs are what one could call mitzvahs siklios, mitzvahs which one can well understand. You shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't worship idolatry, you shouldn't curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so forth. Yet the Rambam says, "Kol ha-makabel sheva mitzvahs v'nizor la'asei son," whoever accepts upon himself these seven mitzvahs and he fulfills them, he is from the righteous of the nations of the world, and he has a portion in the world to come. But that's on a condition that he fulfills the seven mitzvahs, because he says, this is what God has commanded me. And this I know through Moshe Rabbeinu, through Moses. This is what the Bnei Neach were commanded. What happens if you have a non-Jew, a professor, a very wise professor, and he has studied all of the mitzvahs, and he says, these seven mitzvahs are proper that any decent human being should keep. And therefore I will keep them. He is not from the righteous of the nations of the world. Now, Agis in the Rambam is Velei Mechach Mehem. He's not from the wise. There's another text in the Rambam says that might say, there's another text that says Elo Mechach Mehem. He could be considered from the wise of the goyim, of the nations, but not from the righteous. But at any rate, he's not from the righteous of the nations, and he does not have a portion in the world to come. Now here we're talking about all of these mitzvahs, which the seichel, the intelligence and the conscience of the human being would decree, would demand. And therefore someone fulfills them because of that. But he does not fulfill them because this is the decree of Hashem. He is no longer from the Hasidei Umas Ha'ilam. He's not from the righteous of the nations, and he will not have a portion in the world to come. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave mitzvahs that you should fulfill them lishmi, because I gave them to you, not because you have decided this is the right thing to do, or this is the wrong thing to do, or this is what you want to do, or this is what you don't want to do. So this is even by mitzvahs which the seichel would be mechayev, which would ordain. Except after we fulfill those mitzvahs, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us to do, we can learn from those mitzvahs. We can learn how a human being should be. But when it comes to the chukim, so there we have to fulfill those mitzvahs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ordained them in the beginning and even in the end. In the end also we have to say that why did I do this? Not because this is what I want to do. If this is what you want to do, you're not fulfilling it for Hashem, you're fulfilling it for yourself. This is what I don't want to do. But I did it because you commanded me. Then that's lishmi. That's bo abdil eschem in amim. I have separated you from the nations, not just to be separate, but to be for me. Fulfill them for me. There's actually, it's this point that we just mentioned is also more far-reaching, because if a person is going to fulfill a mitzvah because his seichel ordains it, like we mentioned this example, you'll have someone who's a great professor and he has come to the conclusion that these seven mitzvahs are something very proper. Well, then it's limited, because as long as there's not a conflict of interest between the mitzvah and the seichel. But if a person fulfills a mitzvah because he's meshabed himself to the mitzvah, he makes himself totally a servant to the mitzvahs of Hashem, then there's an unlimited commitment. This is what he tells it late. The old tells the Rosh Hashiva Rebbe Yemeya, Zichrein Levarocha, would explain, ask a question in Parshas Shemos. Paroi became panicking because Klal Yisrael were flourishing at such a rapid speed. So he decided, he said to the Hebrew midwives, these were Shifra and Pua, Yocheved and Miriam, that when you give birth to the Hebrew women, when you help them give birth, in Beinhu, if it's a son, you must kill it. If it's a daughter, you can leave it live. And the midwives feared Hashem, and they did not do what Paro commanded, but and they let the children live. And then it says again, because they feared Hashem, Vayas lehem botim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them great dynasties came from them. He would ask, it says they did not kill the children because they feared Hashem. What do you have to come on to Yir HaShemai because you fear Hashem? They didn't kill. They were human. They were decent human beings. This is why they didn't listen to Paroi, and they didn't kill the babies. And especially we're talking about here about Shifra and Pua, Yocheved and Miriam. They weren't cruel. So why does it say twice in the Torah yet that they did not kill the babies because they feared Hashem? He would answer, you cannot kill the babies because of compassion, lack of cruelty. You could not kill the babies because of fearing Hashem. Naturally they had compassion. Naturally they weren't cruel. But even greater than that, they feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't do the mitzvah because of what they wanted to do. They did the mitzvah because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, you might ask, but what's the difference? What is this, just playing with words? What's the difference? He didn't murder. What's the difference? Why he didn't murder? There's a great difference, a very, very great difference. Because if you do not murder because you fear Hashem, then you'll never be able to murder, unless where the Torah commanded you to do so. But if you do not murder because of compassion, wherever there will be a justification to set aside that compassion, then you will murder. And if you think this is remote, look at the world we live in today. How many millions of babies are murdered because of abortion? Millions and millions of babies have been murdered all of the time throughout the world because of abortion. In China, it's a law. Because lo yod elakim, they do not fear Hashem, but they have compassion. But compassion has its limitations. If I can convince you that it's more compassion to murder than not to murder, if I can come and give you a story that the land is becoming overpopulated and there'll be a shortage of food, and by you not murdering, you are causing the deaths of others. So what do you mean you're not murdering because of compassion? Compassion will require you to murder. This is the Chinese story. Or, let's say the child is a sick child. Doctors took tests. He's a sick child. Compassion dictates you should murder him. This is my simba chol yom. Everyday happenings. Or even here, the king commanded. And as far as the Egyptians were concerned, this was a compassion to murder. Otherwise, they would be in danger. Or, you'll even have people that will tell you, look, large families, crowded situations, won't be able to give enough attention to each child. There won't be enough money to go around. Not everyone will be able to go to university. These are justifications. And they're used all of the time for abortion. And this just by abortion. You had the German nation that became a nation of murderers. In their eyes, they weren't doing evil. You ask them, they weren't evil people. They were very intelligent people. And intelligence dictated that certain races should be eliminated from the world. Gypsies should be eliminated. This was the same with Stalin. This is when someone fulfills a mitzvah because he wants to fulfill it. Then the mitzvah comes down to his level, to his seichel. And we see what happens when mitzvahs come down to the seichel of a person. But if you fulfill the mitzvah because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's level, because of the Torah's level, then you'll have to find a justification to murder in the Torah. And that's not so easy to find. That's the difference. That's why it states that they would not kill. Sure, they were compassionate. But that's not why they did not kill. But because my Esser, even if you'll bring me 100 reasons why compassion should be set aside here, but my Esser, what can I do? Yod Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that we're not allowed to. The Maral brings in Tferes Yisrael in Periches. He says, and this we've talking about before in another shurim, he says this is what what Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was bringing out when the Midrash brings Shol Goy Echad as Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. A goy once came to Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, and he had witnessed what they did with the poor Aduma. A man touches a dead body, becomes Tomei Yimshior. So how do you purify him? By taking a red heifer, and you shech the red heifer, and then you burn it, and then you take the ashes, and you mix it with water, with water from a spring, and so forth, and then you sprinkle it on the person. So a guy once saw this, and he says, you know, Niroim kemin kshofim atem mivim. It says, I would think that what you're doing is very close to sorcery, the guy said. This whole business. So Rabbi Yechman Zakkai said to him, he says, did you ever see anyone where an evil spirit entered their body? So the goy says, look, it didn't happen to me, but it happened to others. He says, and what did you do? Well, we would take certain types of roots and certain types of herbs, and we would light a fire to them, and they would smoke, and we would smoke out the evil spirit. So Rabbi Yechman Zakkai said, well, why don't you listen to what you're saying? This is the same thing we're doing. So he was satisfied and he went away. So the Talmidim came to him and they said, he says, this whole story, this whole Baba Meisa that you told him, that's good for the goy. He says, but you're not going to sell us on that, the Talmidim came, said. So he answered them and he said like this, Chayechem, he says, by your lives, lehames metame, it's not the dead person that causes the tumah, velehamayim metaharim, and it's not the water that causes purity. Eloama HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chuka chochakti gezeira gozalti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that this is what I have ordained, this is what I have decreed. Iator shai lavor gzeirosai. You cannot break my decrees. Dichsiv zos chukas haTorah. So this is what the Maral says that he was explaining. The goy wanted to bring. You have three levels. You have the level of the nature, the forces of nature, enormous forces. You have the level of the supernatural. That's above the forces of nature. That would be, for example, the mazoles, or other supernatural incidents that will take place. And then you have the level of Torah, which is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The Goyim, they can understand the level of the nature or of the supernatural, but not the level of Torah. So everything must be interpreted at that level to them. Either it is a natural cure, or it's a cure through a superstition. And that's what he answered them. Don't bring the Torah down to their levels. It's not the mace that's metama. The mace is not metama at the level of the natural world or at the level of the supernatural. And the mayim are not matarim, and the waters are not matara at that level of the natural forces or the supernatural forces. But chuka chakakti ugzeira gozalti. These are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chukim, his gzeiras at his level. And eina Torah shai lahara achreihem. And you cannot challenge them. You can toil to try to understand them, but not to challenge them or to bring them down to your level. And the Maral says this is the same when it comes. He says many people think that the Torah asur macholas asurais chelev, The fats that we're not allowed to eat. Dam, blood we're not allowed to eat. The veil or treifus that we're not allowed to eat. Many people think, he says, because melidim mezekra, because they will give a bad nature in the person if he eats them. He says this has nothing to do with the isha, nothing to do with the prohibition. And he says then they would bring a gemara, that the gemara would say, v'nit mesem, tanda rebe bishmu, avera metamtem libe shel odom. It says nit mesem, and the gemara darshins, not that they make you tome by the shrotzim, not that they make you tome, but nit mesem metamtem. They will block you up. If you eat them, they will block your soul and your mind. See, he says the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says avera mitamtem libo shel odom. The avera, the transgression, is what will affect you, not the shrotzim, not the dam, not the chelev. That's not the isur. The isur is the transgression. And the source of the transgression is the mitzvah HaTorah. And the mitzvah HaTorah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the chukah hakakti v'gzeiro gzeiros gozati. That's his gzeiros. He says the proof of that. What is the proof of that? He said because we find many, many places in the Torah where the Torah permits it. For example, it states... The Gemara Darshins. Gemara Darshins on a posuk that when you go to war against the nations, you can eat the spoils. Botim Malayim called tools. Eretz Yisrael, you can come in and you can eat the spoils. And the Gemara brings a Masech Techulin and Yudzayin. Amar of Yirmiya afilo kosli the chazerim, that even the chazerim, the delicacies of the chazerim that were found in the spoils of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah permitted the soldiers to eat. They were allowed to eat, not because of danger of life. He says, "Well, what happened? But if it's something which is mazik haguf, if it's damaging to the body, what happened to it?" Or, for example, you're not allowed to eat anything that's not shechted. There's ben pakua. If you shecht an animal, and the animal's pregnant, and after the animal is dead, you're allowed to, you are able to take out her offspring, and the offspring lives and becomes a cow. That cow doesn't need shechita. You're allowed to kill it any way you want and eat it. This is the din of ben pekua. He says, "Aitz nevela." If it's mazik haguf, if it damages a person, what happened to it? So you see, it's all dependent. Avera metamtim esaliboy. On the avera, if it's the mitzvah or not the mitzvah, and that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gezer. Another example. If you take an animal and you shecht him from the back of the neck, he's an avela. Same as eating in a McDonald's restaurant. Yet, all of the kahanim, all of their sacrifices of the birds in the Beis HaMikdash, and even those that they would eat, were all severed from the back of the neck. That's what happened, he says. It's metamtem esaleiv, blocks up the person. It's mazik the person. So he says, we see that even if that would be the truth, that's not the isur. That's not the prohibition. That's not why the Torah forbade it. And then he brings the Torah's kahanim, which we brought at the beginning of this year. The Rambam brings in Hilkas Mezuzah. He says as follows. This is found in Perek Hay of Hilchus Tfilin. No, excuse me. Yeah, Perikei of Hilchus Tfilin, Aloha Dalet. He says, Minik Poshut Shekeisfin Ala Mezuzah Mibachutz Keneged Harevach Shebein Parsha LeParsha Shin Dalet Yud. It's the prevailing custom that you take the parchment of the mezuzah and you take the back side of it, not the front side in which you wrote the parshas of Krishna on it, but you take the back side, and in between the, you also in between the paragraphs on the back side, so it shouldn't show through, you write Shin Dalet Yud. The end is a hefsid. He says, there's nothing wrong with this, you can do it. Lefishu b'abachutz, because it's on the back of the mezuzah. On the back of the mezuzah, you're not adding to the words which are in the inside of the mezuzah, of the parchment. Aval elu shekesim b'vnim, but those who add words on the inside of the parchment, shmeis hamalochim, names of various angels. This was a custom in those days. O shmeis kedoshim, or names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Pasukei Chasamis, or certain Psukim. And the Rambam is a very extreme when it comes to these things. He says, Arehein bechlal mi she'ein lam chelek leilam abo. He says, those people don't have a chelek leilam abo. She'elu atipshim. He says, these fools, leidai lehem shebitla ha-mitzvah. They're going to be mavatal the mitzvah because they're writing things on the inside of the parchment where we are commanded only to write certain parshas of the Torah on it. They're adding to it. Ela sho'osu mitzvah gedola sh'yichur Hashem shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu va'avosei va'avodosei. But they take a great mitzvah, the mitzvah which teaches us the love and the service to Hashem, kilu kemiya shel hanoz atzman, like it's a kemiya. What was a kemiya? A kameya was something that they wore, which would give them good mazel, or give them a refuah shleima. This was of a superstitious nature. Kimosha ola alibam hasochel, shudavar hamahane bahavli eilam. Like the fools think. This is what they're taking. They're making the kameya out of the mezuzah. So on this, the Kesef Mishnah, the Reish Yosef, he says, according to the Rambam, he says, you cannot add things in the mezuzah for an extra shmirah that it should guard on your house. Now, he says, from certain gemaras it's mashma that a mezuzah did guard your house, though. It brings where Unkelus, gemara in Avodah Zarah, where Unkelus told the goy, he told the Roman, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mezuzah so it will guard the houses of Israel. So he says, maybe he was just telling the Romans that. But then he says, the Gemara says that when you put a mezuzah on the door, you should put it rather a little out on the side of the archway towards the outside rather than towards the inside. Why? Because kihechi de tintrei lekach, because then it will give shmirah more guardianship even on that. In other words, to get as much of the house inside the mezuzah as you can. So he says no. He says the truth of the matter is a mezuzah guards the house when it's written kimitzvoso. He says it's not the angels that guard the house, and it's not the names of the angels that you write inside, or not anything else that you write inside. He says, the mezuzah, you have to write in exactly what the Torah told you to write in. That's your parshas of Shema. And if it's done ki hilchaso, then it will guard the house. But when you put it up, you must not put it up to guard the house. You must put it up to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. And if you fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem, then he will see that the house is guarded. Now this is the same thing we're speaking about here. If I put up a mezuzah to guard my house, so who am I putting it up for? Me or HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's you, me, Mekayim Mitzvah Shalei Lishmo. You have to put up the mezuzah because Kach Gozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. If you fulfill it, Ki Hilchaso, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, your house will be guarded. And the proof of the pudding is because what kind of bracha do we make when we put up a mezuzah? We don't make a bracha that I'm putting up the mezuzah to guard the house. You're making a bracha asher kitshanu b'mitzvaisa v'tzivanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified us and commanded us l'kfei a mezuzah, to put up a mezuzah. That's all you make. And this is with all mitzvahs. It's filling the same thing. Sits is the same thing. And this is what the Rambam saying. So someone who puts up mezuzahs, unfortunately it's very prevalent today because you're sinking from the level of the Chukei HaTorah to these supernatural or the natural levels of the world. If someone does that, he's been mechallel the mitzvahs, he's desecrated the mitzvahs. And that's why the Rambam goes so far. Others argued with him. They didn't. But the Rambam went so far as to say, "Ein lam chelak leilam avo." You put in a mezuzah to guard your house. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you. But avdel eskem lishmi, I told you to do mitzvahs for me, because I was gezer. And the Rambam goes further. In Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchas Aveda Zora, Halacha Yud Beis, Rambam says, "Halechish ala makke v'keire posuk bin haTorah v'chein akeire ala tinoik." If someone has a wound and he starts to say psukim in order to heal the wound, or if a child is crying and he starts to say psukim in order that the child should stop crying, or he takes the Sefer Torah tefillin and he puts it into the bed of the cotton in order that the cotton will be able to be cured or sleep, ledai lahem shem bechlam menachshim vechevrim. He says not only are they practicing Darkei Emeiri were the ways of the charms and the superstitions and so forth, Elishain Bechal Kefrim Betorah, but they deny the Torah. Shein Aisin Divreitera Rafuas Haguf, because they take the Torah down from the height of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they make out of it a Sefer Rafuah, a book of charms and a book of cures. Ve'einan Ela Rafuas Nefesh. The Torah is for the soul, not for the goof, not for the body. But if you read Tehillim, you say Mizmori Tehillim, to fulfill the mitzvah of learning Tehillim, of Davar HaMelech's Tehillim, and the schus of that mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be Marape, the child, that's a different story. But if you feel that writing the psukim or saying the psukim or doing something like that, that will bring a refuah to the child. This is what the Rambam said about the Kameas. He says he held this was a kefir b'teiras Hashem. He took a very, very strong stand against it. I recall once, I've mentioned this before, there was once a meeting. A shul had some money and they wanted to build, well, there was the rabbi and there was a group of people that wanted to use the money to build a mikveh. But there were those who felt that the mikveh is not that important. There was no mikveh in the area. But there was those that felt the mikveh is not that important. They should use the money for something else. So they called a general meeting and they asked a number of rabbonim to come and also to speak to push the idea of an importance of a mikveh. So one got up and he spoke about the emotional benefits of a mikveh. Another one spoke about the marital, married life benefits of a mikveh. And another one got up and he cited articles where they find that those that keep mikveh, it's a prevention against disease and cancer and so forth and so on. And this was the gist of the evening. I said, to me it seems that ha'ika chasar min ha'sefer, that they're lacking the most here. I said, these are all good reasons. But what about the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us that we have to keep the mitzvah of mikveh, of taharas mishpacha? This is your first reason, and this is your fundamental reason, and this is your overriding reason. If there's other benefits also, so matov. But this is the mitzvah of mikveh. Torah didn't tell us all of these other reasons. They could be byproducts of it. This is what we're speaking about. The Rambam brings, let us conclude with this, the Rambam brings in Hilchus Kiddush Hashem, in Perikei, he says, Kol HaPeirish Me'aveiro, whoever is in a situation where he is tempted to do an Aveiro and he doesn't do it, or also mitzvah, or he has the opportunity to do a mitzvah and he does it, lo mipnei dover ba'elam, but not for any other reason in the world, lei pachat v'lei yireh, not because he's afraid to do the Aveira, or Yireh, or not because he has this fear, v'lei levakesh kovit, or not because he's looking for honor, elo mipnei haberech baruch hu, only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to do so, ki meniyas Yosef HaTzadik atzmei me'eshes rabbi, like by Yosef. Yosef said v'chotosi lelakim, when he was enticed by his mistress, he said, I can't. Bichotosi lelakim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forbade me. Areze Mekadosh Es Hashem. So the Rambam says, this is the highest form of fulfilling the mitzvah. And besides the schar mitzvah biyodei, Areze Mekadosh Es Hashem. This is Kiddush Hashem. If someone fulfills a mitzvah because he wants to do the mitzvah, if someone doesn't eat something which is forbidden, or he doesn't partake from something which is forbidden because he doesn't want to, that's not Kiddush Hashem. It's not Kiddush Hashem. The mitzvah he did, but he didn't do L'Shem Hashem. But if someone wants to do it, but he doesn't because v'chotosi lelakim,
Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. That's a greater level. Greater level. Because Hareza Kiddush Hashem. Besides the mitzvah, he's sanctifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. He's doing it L'shem. This is what it means L'shem Shemaim. So that's what it means here. V'avdil eschem min ha'amim, I have separated you from the nations, not merely that you should be separate, but lios li, in order that your separation should be for me. When you separate yourself from the nations, it should be for me, to fulfill my will, not to fulfill your will. This is what we learn from that principle.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.